Welcome to Life, Liberty, and Equip Podcast. I'm Greg Davis, founder of Neomag, and a firm believer that life is worth living boldly, liberty should be used for good, and we all have a calling to be equipped to pursue it. Every week we explore what it means to live with intention, carry the tools and mindset that prepare us for whatever comes. We'll dive into topics around the freedoms we cherish, the gear we trust, and the skills that equip us. This is more than a podcast, it's a mission. Life, liberty, and equipped to pursue it. We're coming to you live on the Neomag YouTube, Instagram, and Facebook accounts, and we'll be bringing your live comments into the conversation today. If you're listening to the recorded podcast, you can catch us every Wednesday at 1 p.m. Eastern and be part of the live. You can get involved with us on our Discord server. Link is in the chat and show notes. I encourage you to join the Neomag Insiders Club. Insiders Club is free to join. You'll get access to exclusive episodes, discounts, and more. You can sign up using the pop-up on our website at theneomag.com. Also hosting with me today is Nate Hills.
What's going on, everybody?
Michael Billings.
What's going on, guys?
And we got a special guest today. You guys ready to get started?
Let's go. Yes, maybe. Hold on. Too many things.
Life isn't just the big moments. It's the everyday joys worth protecting. Family, friends, and community. Let's talk about what makes life rich.
Yeah, today we've got guest Dan Popadak. Did I say that right?
Yes, sir.
Haha, got it.
What's up, everybody?
That's no fun. Popadak.
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 Popadak. Popadak. Dan P. Just going to go with that.
That's me.
So, Dan, we've lost like one quarter of our commenters that are normally on YouTube with Dan being here, but Dan is a friend of a long time. He's a fellow Ohio gun industry business owner, North Coast Tactical.
Yes, sir.
Is your digs.
That's us.
That's awesome. So we're really going to kind of just get to know Dan a little bit. We're going to get to know North Coast Tactical a little bit. And then for the equip segment, I thought we'd just dive into holsters. Holster is our very important gear and kit that we have. We all probably have boxes full of holsters just overflowing everywhere. So what makes a good holster? What makes a bad holster? What's pros and cons of different designs, stuff like that. So that's kind of our plan for today. So for the life segment, I thought we'd just kind of get to know the life of Dan.
Life of Dan.
Boy. You were under the lights.
Oh, boy.
I was going to get a couch and have you lay down on it. And
that sounds good.
And
therapy?
Yeah. I ask you some very...
We just don't have space. Sorry.
We're kind of in a closet here.
I could just like lay across you guys.
Usually on our laps.
Lay on our laps.
I have a computer, which can lay on their laps.
I just... slowly look into Michael's eyes.
Just whisper innocent nothings. Whisper.
So, why don't you tell us a little bit about you? Like, what are three things that you think is important for people to know about you?
Well, I would have to say number one, I am a follower of Christ, first and foremost, and I would say number two. On scale of importance, I am a father and a husband. And then I'm a nostalgist. Mm. I love anything nostalgia.
Anything nostalgia. So like a certain era?
Say nostalgia, what is nostalgia for you?
Like 90s, early 2000s.
Okay.
Like your photos.
Yeah, like my photos, yeah. I like, old school anime and, Dragon Ball Z, Yu Yu Hakusho, Gundam Wing, all the classics.
I had all the toys for Gundam Wing.
Geeking out. I'm
like, whoa, Dragon Ball Z.
And Dan and I are kindred spirits.
I have no idea what any of this, well, I know.
So many ways.
Like,
Nate and I geek out on a lot of Halo content.
Yeah, 100%. So. Yeah. Every anime you said are all of my jam.
Yes.
So.
And just like the vibe of, kind of a time long since past, sitting on the couch with your brother playing Halo or playing,
Wayne Gretzky Hotsky.
I was going to say maybe GoldenEye.
That's a
GoldenEye. On the 64.
Dropping my phone. Like on the 64.
I was in college when I was playing those games, but.
That's because you're an old man.
I'm so old.
Grandpa.
But yeah, I mean, that's kind of, I would say something that a lot of people don't know about me is that, I like nostalgia.
Yeah. So you had mentioned at lunch, that you collect, that you're a collector?
Like, yes.
What do you like to collect?
My daughter and I have recently started collecting Pokemon again, back in, you know, the late 90s and early 2000s. Pokemon was just like the it thing. Everybody did it. We did it. My family actually owned a comic and card shop growing up.
Oh, that's
so
cool.
I had access to, you know, everything. I had all the best cards and all of those types of things. Then my parents got divorced. My dad left. He moved down to Florida. And I never saw any of my cards or anything ever again.
Oh.
So now I'm collecting again from scratch. But it's cool because I get to redo it with my daughter, who's really into
that's
it.
That's cool.
But speaking of, I don't know if this is like allowed or out of turn or anything. But I told you guys I had something fun.
Go.
At lunch that I wanted to do. And I was wondering if you guys would be down to open a couple packs of Pokemon cards.
Yeah, let's go, dude. My son will be ecstatic. I'll show this to him later. He'll literally will lose his mind.
It's just not Beanie Babies, right? We've already determined that Beanie Babies were a short fad.
Beanie Babies are not an investment opportunity. If anyone was wondering, the 90s fad of Beanie Baby investments didn't work out.
And they don't have spider eggs in them.
They don't have spider eggs in them.
I don't know. That's a deep cut. Somebody else has to know.
Yeah, I've never heard that.
Somebody else has to know that. Let us know in the comments if you've heard that before.
So you know what a Pikachu is, right?
I know it's a character.
We talked about this last week. Yeah.
It's a little yellow mouse.
It's a little, yeah.
Little yellow mouse.
It's lightning hands.
This here we have Black Bolt, which is a newer modern set. I'm going to pass it around. You guys pick whatever one you want.
Oh, gosh. Okay. What is Black Bolt?
So it's part of the Scarlet and Violet era of Pokemon. I would imagine, when's the last time you guys opened a pack of Pokemon cards? Probably like...
Never. This is my first time.
Never?
You're watching me.
Ooh, wow.
Do this for the first time.
This is the first time moment.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I'm going to admire this.
All right.
So there's no Charizard in here, right?
No.
Oh, it's my favorite.
So, like I said, this is a modern set. You guys are probably used to like the older,
yep,
like
totally
late 90s, early 2000s.
Totally used to that.
Great.
So there's no like real card trick or anything like that. Mm. You just kind of open it up, and you just go from front to back.
I think I open it from the back to front, so I got to turn it around.
And then what do you do?
Ooh.
You admire.
You see what you have.
And I'll let you guys know if you get anything good.
Should we name them off for you?
No. I mean, if you get something good, then we'll show it. But
I got two Venipedes.
Those are terrible.
Those are garbage.
Does a number in the top right, I'm assuming, is that like the power it has or something?
Yeah, sort of.
So like...
Okay, so... If you guys get anything that looks kind of like this.
Yep. Wow, it's beautiful.
Shiny.
I do. Yeah, so this is a full art.
Of two things like that.
If the camera can see that. Oh, you got a Zekrom. Okay. Yep. That's a... If that was the... we got a shiny
energy card
there.
Check
them out, guys.
Oh, I got a couple of weep. These.
Nice.
Read them and weep.
Okay. So you got two reverse in the holo.
Yeah, but
if Nate's card would have been the, it's called a special illustration rare, it would probably have been worth somewhere along the lines of like, I would say $400 to $500.
Wow.
What?
That just bums me out.
Yeah.
Well, wow.
That's kind of the, that's kind of Pokemon. So
yeah.
Side thing. Can you make our screen like full screen?
Okay, sure. Sorry.
But
there you go.
Here we go. Thank you.
Now we're so much bigger, guys. Sorry about
larger
that.
Larger than life. So my Seismitoad has 107 horsepower. that's pretty awesome.
You're a Seismitoad.
HP.
It's HP.
Horsepower.
Minus 230. Suck it.
Dang
HP's
it.
Horsepower, yeah.
He's played a lot of Pokemon.
I can see.
Told us my first time.
A pro at it. Yeah, my daughter would be thrilled right now. So I don't know. I think that they're watching in the shop.
Oh, that's awesome,
baby girl. If you're watching, Daddy loves you.
Oh,
But Yeah, you guys are,
yeah,
are
got some cards.
More than willing to keep those if cool. you want. If not, we actually are going to, for our church's trunk or treat this year, we're dressing up as
nice.
Pokemon stuff. So we're going to be giving away like packs of cards. So
well, I will keep this for my son. My son will lose his mind.
Absolutely.
So would, thank you, Dan.
Absolutely.
We're so happy to donate any of these to people who know what to do with them.
Yeah, if you don't want them, you want to put them.
Put them back in the in this put them box, back in the box then. For Dano.
Yeah, you're gonna have to tell me which one to keep. I'll hold on to one.
You keep, any of the ones that are shiny, you can hold on to.
The shiny ones, have, the ones
if
that
it's shiny cardboard, hold on to.
You think it's pretty
kind of shiny?
Does it look like this?
It should be like the last three ish.
Like that one?
No. Here, give them to me.
Oh, it looks shiny.
kinda. It's got a little.
Here.
Little yeah, I think it's. I think
do it have good. A little sheen?
Take that one.
No, not a good one. Victini.
I should bring in all my my hockey card collection from the 90s.
You should.
You probably have some good stuff in there.
Yeah, that's probably some good stuff in there.
That one.
Oh, we got an energy coin.
There you go.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Victini. So I know there's actually like a game that you play with that.
Yes.
Right? Like there's.
Yes.
Okay.
It's not too complicated. I don't have the time to play it, so we just kind of collect. We like the way that the cards look, and right. You know, it's just kind of like that thrill of getting that, you know, special illustration. Or I like just the regular holos because when I was growing up, that was the best card that you could get. Mm. Now they've got a ton of different stuff, full arts, special illustration rares, and I just anything that's like cool looking, I like it.
Is Pokemon Go still a thing?
Yeah,
I remember. One of my last jobs, there was a park that I would go to, and I would play disc golf. There was a course there. And there would be people, there'd be these adults out there with their phone, like head down, just like walking very quickly.
Capturing
Pokemon. In certain directions and stuff like that.
Yep.
Watch several people almost get hit by cars or run into things that they shouldn't run into.
There have been cases of people that have died
from
playing Pokemon Go, yeah. Walking over cliffs and stuff, looking at their phone.
Yeah.
But you got to think, who would put a Pokemon in the middle of a...
I think they're all like RNG, like random...
Really?
Yeah.
I played it when it first came out. It was a fun little game to play with the kids, you know, to go out in the park and
it's cool
try to,
catch
something.
And, to get out. And,
yeah, that's what I liked about it. It was like it actually got people out.
Yep. Yeah.
And they went to the park. These people had probably never been to a park before.
Right.
And they were there.
What was like the only thing? Because I mean, you guys know where I live. There's nothing. There's nothing there. We had to go to like a city if we wanted to play it. We had to go to a city. And now, like, you know, I can go into my little town and there's stuff to do. Because back when it first started, there was nothing.
Yeah. Right.
So it's kind of neat that there's actually stuff to do in it now.
Yeah,
that's cool.
So yeah, it's definitely still a thing.
Everybody's got their thing, and it's cool. Just so many things to. Get into and enjoy, and it's even cooler when you get to enjoy it with your kids. So, how many kids do you have?
Two.
How old?
My son, he's about to turn 11, and then my daughter just turned 8.
Nice.
And her birthday video on my YouTube channel should go up at some point today.
Nice.
So
we opened like 50 packs of Pokemon cards.
Oh, nice. Wow.
It's like an hour long video.
Wow,
it's crazy.
I'll show that to my son too. He'll love that.
So. I think it answers a little bit of like the question I had was when you're not working, what do you enjoy doing outside of? Is there anything else that you?
Yeah. So I play drums. I play drums probably like 2-3 times a week. And I've been playing drums since I was in first grade.
Oh, wow.
My cousin is the drummer for Garth Brooks.
Really?
Yeah.
That's super cool.
I've seen Garth a couple times. I've met him a couple times. I've played the drum set on stage before, not during the concert, just like before. Cause I could though, because when I was growing up, I just loved playing, and I learned my first full song was Thunder Rolls.
Oh, Garth, perfect song!
He's got just really really good fills. So, I mean, I love playing. I would say that probably was like the catalyst of wanting to be a drummer was seeing him in concert when I was really little. Was just a really cool experience. So it just kind of like pushed me to do it.
That's awesome.
I can play the drums, but the tune to it is not, it's not there. It's like my feet start going with my hands and then they don't. And then it's just this isn't music. Yeah. This is just noise.
That's all right.
I can sing and strum and play chords, no problem. But trying to get four different limbs to do four different things at the same time, I can't do it. I've tried.
Yeah, it definitely, it helps, I think, like if you're able to kind of like shut part of your brain off and, I don't know, just be able to like to not focus on the other things that are going on around you and just kind of just let the, and I also do think that it partially is like God-given.
Sure.
Because rhythm's like one of those things where it's just like either you kind of have it or you don't.
You don't.
And I think that a lot of people try to play music because they like it, but they don't have any rhythm.
Yeah.
So I think that it's kind of like one of those things. Like, yeah, you can learn, but it's a lot easier if you have it.
100%. Well, there's just some people that, like you said, there's some people that learn how to drum, and there's some people that can pick up drumsticks and can just drum naturally, and then somebody comes and refines the technique and gives them the extra little bits to make it better.
Yeah.
Like, I know some guys that basically taught themselves a drum, and somebody that actually knew the techniques behind drumming then came and refined the technique. And then I know some people that are decent drummers that just spent their whole lives taking drum lessons, but they're never going to have that, I don't know, that extra something.
This is, well, yeah, we've kind of talked about this with shooting. Like, with, there are certain people that we know that just have that, just that extra ability.
Yeah, like that it factor.
That it factor. Yeah. Jared with Tier 1 is one of those guys.
I'm not one of those guys.
That just has this it. I'm not saying that he hasn't put a lot of work into it, but there's just something, just it. Yeah. There's an it thing that just, that you can't teach, that when applied with practice and discipline is just kind of next level.
Yep.
Well, I won't play on stage with you guys, but if you guys want to play Rock Band, I'm just saying, expert. I had it down back in the day, so.
Oh, man, those were some good times.
Oh, Guitar Hero?
Guitar Hero. Guitar Hero 3 was
That's
great.
When we could all play the guitar when it actually was just four colors and buttons.
You could never add the fifth, though. No. I could never add the fifth. No. Only four.
No, my pinkies are too small.
I just like to think, of all the kids that spent, if they would have taken all the hours playing Guitar Hero and put it into actually learning music. How to play guitar.
Oh, well, yeah.
Imagine what you could do if you,
But our parents got to listen to the best music from Guitar
That's
Hero.
That's true. They didn't have to listen to all that.
It's true. Yeah. The rock music off Guitar Hero was the best. Yeah. So,
I felt bad for my parents having to listen to me play like drum kit for like years before I actually played anything good.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, man.
Mine was a guitar, and I could string, one string the whole time, and Stairway to Heaven was so easy. Aerials from System of a Down, and then I started getting better.
You're not allowed to play those in Guitar Center or anything like that.
Let's just say my parents they happily got rid of the stereo afterwards, because I would just be, heavy metal ripping it. The rhythm was there for me. I don't know for anyone else in the house, but that was short lived. But I had the A-frame guitar. Oh, yes. I was a rock star.
Nothing else made you feel cool.
It made me feel
excellent. There's nothing like hitting one of them big power chords.
And the wow, 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 wow. Oh yeah.
So if you could relive one day in your life, not to change it, but just to relive it again, what would it?
Oh man. That's rough.
Yeah.
That's a tough question. Come on.
That's a good question.
I thought it was a cool question.
It's tougher because I have two kids.
Yeah, right. I thought of that. I'm like, I can't pick one of my
kids. I feel like I can't pick that because that would be unfair.
But then if you pick something like so insignificant, it's like I feel bad for not picking something with my kids or my wife.
Yeah.
No pressure.
I'm thinking that. Because I can't relive both of my, like the day that both of my kids were born, I'd either have to go with my wedding day, Oh, yeah. Super cliched. I know. Either that or probably the last day that I got to hang out with my best friend before he died. I think about that a lot. So yeah. It would either be my wedding day or that.
Yeah.
I would say.
That's a good answer.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not even sure how I was going to answer this. So if
it's rough. That's a rough question.
Yeah. There are definitely days. There are multiple days. Yeah. Know, but
100%.
But to pick one is tough. But yeah.
Well, especially as time goes on, because I have a lot of good days. You know, I mean, like you said, birth of children, weddings. There's a clip from The Office where Andy says, how's he word it?
I wish there was a way.
I wish there was a way to know that you're in the good old days before you're out of the good old days.
Yeah. I'll sit here and quote The Office all day.
Yeah. But that's saying,
Angel, that one's for you.
But that's
my wife.
That particular scene, anytime it comes up, it
chokes you up.
Yeah, it chokes you up. Yeah, you're like, man, how often do I think back to days with the boys? And it's like, yeah, this was great. This is awesome. We'll see you on Saturday. And you never see him on Saturday.
Last again. Online 8 years ago.
Yeah, exactly. It's like the last time you did whatever that activity was, but you didn't know it was the last time you were doing that.
Yeah, like I get reels. Like my algorithm is so sad. It's just like an emo kid. It's always just like reels of like, oh, one day you had your last sleepover with your friends, or you burned your last CD and you never think about like, oh, this was, you know, the last day that, I went to homeroom period in high school and you never knew. And it's just like when I said like nostalgia, like that's part of it too.
Yeah.
It's just like, that's just, you know, things that hit you and they, you know, they make you feel a type of way.
Oh yeah.
To me, you know, that's nostalgia.
It's like when I moved out and I no longer had a bedtime and I was like, I'm staying up past midnight. And now I'm like in bed before 9 o'clock.
Yeah. I would say to answer that question that Andy proposes in The Office is I just treat all the time like I'm in
the good old days. Yeah.
Like every situation or whatever that I'm in, like I don't look at it as like, you know, even if it might be a tough situation, you know, I just know that I have a great life.
Yeah.
I have great people. I have a fantastic, wonderful family. You know, I have people that care about me and, you know, I get to do something. I mean, you guys understand this too. Like I get to do something that I absolutely love.
Yeah.
You know, like my life is great and there's so many people out there that don't have this opportunity that I have. So it kind of feels wrong for me to ever really like complain about it.
Yeah. So I don't think I have like any big event that I would pick for that answer, but I think kind of your point, like there is frequently moments where I go, I wish I could just take like I wish I could remember this moment forever. And it's usually just like, I'm sitting on the back patio with my wife while my kids are playing in the backyard, you know, just these moments of
absolutely.
Like, of just like nothing else matters right now. We're just enjoying the moment. You know, a lot of times, like, the weather's perfect, the breeze is perfect, the lighting, it's golden hour in the evening. You know, just, like, you just put all these things together.
The kids aren't arguing, and I don't mean that, like, cliche, but...
Yeah, no, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
The kids aren't arguing.
They're getting along.
Like, along well.
Like, yeah, like, all three of my kids are playing together and laughing. Like, that doesn't happen super often. So, yeah, just, like, it's those kind of just... regular moments that
I feel
that
like that's a country song.
It is. Yeah. 100%.
Is that Lone Star?
Yeah. We got the drummer, we got the guitarist and the vocals. Yeah.
From my front porch looking in.
That's a great song. It always tears me up.
Yeah, that's great song.
It talks about the little feet running across the
Don't start, man. Come on.
Make anyway, it's an emotional podcast.
Let me ask you guys this, cuz I get this all the time. I feel like I'm like the only one. When you guys think about something or you close your eyes, can you picture like actual pictures in your head?
Like memory, you mean?
Yeah, like a memory or like if I tell you to imagine a unicorn running through a field of flowers.
Why did you do that? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now I don't know why you
do that. Unicorn in my head running through the field with flowers.
I can't do that.
Really?
I don't have the
ability. I just picture me riding shirtless on the back of the...
unicorn.
That's a bit much.
Bareback.
Oh, it was beautiful. I had hair. I had long hair. It was flowing.
Fabio.
That's definitely a dream. That's imagination.
Right? Yeah, so, I don't have that ability. I don't dream either.
It's been a long time.
I don't have any dreams.
Oh, we can talk about my dreams sometime. It's a terrible place. You don't want to go there.
We got Nate lay down on the couch pretty soon.
Yeah, that's a horrible thing. Yeah.
Right here, buddy. Come here.
Yeah, we'll talk about it sometime.
I've got a very vivid imagination.
Yeah, I hear stuff like people all the time. Like, oh yeah, I was thinking about this thing, and you know, my wife's a big book reader, and she's like, so much better than the movie because I can like picture it how I want in my head, and I'm like, nope, nothing.
Yeah, that's something. So for me, you know, you were talking about all of those anime from when you were growing up and video games and all of those things. All of that stuff fueled my imagination.
Mm.
I loved all of those things. I still love all those things. But for me, that was just added fuel to the imagination. Like, oh, this is cool. This is creative. Add it to the bank of different creative things to add images. So the unicorn and the field of flowers type thing. Like you see that on, what was that brand of Trapper Keepers? The awful.
Oh, I know exactly what you're talking about.
With
too.
All of the. Or all the crazy colors and the dolphins and
somebody's got to say it in the comments.
Yeah, man. Somebody help me
somebody
out.
Somebody does.
Anyways, those are the kind of things that fuel imagination. At least in my mind, those are the images.
Ty Boomer says he can't really picture things and he very rarely dreams. So,
well, there you go.
I'm there with you.
So. But that's the kind of thing that for me would fuel imagination. I mean, even like these Pokemon cards, right, is something that
I don't know why the name was almost there for me. But then it switched to Anne Frank.
It's not that.
Very but different. I feel like it's like Anne something.
Oh, hold on.
Hey, we got now I gotta look computers and smartphones, all this technology. Yeah, I think the creativity part is where I don't really dream much anymore. And if I do, I vaguely remember it in the morning. But as soon as I go to my daily morning routine or anything like that, it's gone. Whereas... you know, some they do dream vividly and they can recall it. I don't so much do that, but for the creativity side of the house, it flows. Because like when we're talking about videos, we're bouncing back and forth the ideas of what we want and what Greg envisions in his head. It's like we have to find that together. And that's where it goes back to being blessed and having that capability because I can. See angles with the camera to be able to capture it from a different perspective.
Yeah, and I find that sometimes it's difficult while being in the manufacturing business that, like, I'll have somebody explain an idea maybe for a product or a design of a holster, like a print or something like that they want us to create, and all they're doing is just kind of, like, verbalizing what they want.
It's hard for you to
transpose that. I can't put that into, like... a physical like representation because I can't really see it in my head at all. Mm. So it's harder for me to like understand like fully what someone's saying unless they're very detailed
right
in what they're saying, like how they want something. So it's kind of like a tough thing for me.
So I guess this may be a follow-up question that I have for him is I love photography and you have your own style of photography and it does, as you say, replicate like the nostalgia of the times that you grew up in. And I love it. Like your art it's creative. Where do you get that creative capability in marketing your company if you're not necessarily seeing what you see, what I see when you take the picture, like beyond the eye of the lens?
Yeah. I mean, it's a good question. I get inspiration from other creators. I don't see a ton of like gun content stuff that kind of looks like mine. There's a few out there, so I'll get like inspiration from other people, but I get inspiration from, you know, it could just be someone who took a picture of a book on a table, or I watch a lot of this one specific YouTube channel. You might know him, Peter McKinnon.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, I watch a lot of him, and his aesthetic is...
outstanding.
Yeah, it's just unreal. Yeah. So I draw a lot of inspiration from people like him, like Matty Hipoya and you know, all these... I don't know what you call them, lifestyle kind of...
Sure,
right. So I get a lot of inspiration from stuff like that. Not necessarily the gun... world of stuff, or even like, I follow this one page. It's all about like retro, like handheld video game consoles and like handguns and stuff. So like, I'll draw inspiration from that. I'll take a picture and, you know, I'll make it my own.
Right.
But it's heavily, it's like heavily inspired by like maybe somebody else, just because, like I said, I can't visualize anything like that, like in my head, to just make it up like on the spot.
So Lisa Frank, by the way.
Yeah. I was close.
You were very close.
I was close.
My wife must be watching, listening, because she texted me as well, Lisa Frank.
Well, there you go.
So it's not Anne Frank.
Not Anne Frank in the attic. Okay. Yep. All right, good. That would have been really sad. She's up there hiding from Nazis, drawing unicorns.
Unicorns and dolphins and rainbows. Yeah.
It's a happy day.
Yep.
And just some happy trees.
So next to my very important questions to ask you is, would you rather be stuck in an elevator?
Oh, no.
Oh, you skipped number six.
No.
For 4 hours.
He skipped the most important question.
I skipped two
list.
Questions. We're already 30 minutes into this.
No, he skipped the most important. Why is Nate your favorite Neomag employee?
Yeah, like I said.
Because he's so cute.
Like I said, there important. I skipped that for a more important question. Would you rather be stuck in an elevator for 4 hours with three goats wearing tap shoes or two kids armed with Nerf guns?
Nerf guns. How long? Four hours. Yeah, Nerf guns. Elevator.
They got to reload.
Yeah. Not just that. I could just take the Nerf guns away from them.
Shoot them back.
The goats would probably get bored, start peeing, pooping, eating my clothes. And
they smell bad.
Smell terrible. Kids smell bad, too. But
and they'd have no rhythm.
Yeah, that's true. That would drive me nuts. again, chaos. My autism would never allow that. But kids, Nerf guns, yeah. Me and my kids, we play, my son calls it sword fight. But we play that almost every single night before they go to bed.
Here's the thing, it doesn't say your kids, though. It just says.
That's okay. I get along. I'm a child, so, you know, I get along with most kids.
If I could tackle the goats and take their tap shoes off, of course, they still have hooves. It's still going to be noisy.
Yeah,
but
they still stink.
They smell bad.
They're so bad.
They do.
They tear up everything.
And they will 100% pee and poop multiple times in the elevator.
4 hours.
Yeah, the pangolin says their poop might muffle the tappy shoe.
Oh.
Tappy
taps.
Tappy
that makes it worse.
Smearing it around.
That's a good point. Is a good point.
Listen, when I was a kid.
How old are the kids? That's the question. How old are the kids?
It doesn't specify.
It doesn't say.
All right, well, make it up.
Well, so the actual question went, oh.
Make it up.
It said toddlers when I found the question. I'm like, toddlers couldn't really shoot a Nerf gun.
Actually, that makes it easy. That makes it even an easier decision because they can have the Nerf guns.
I think
toddlers couldn't load a Nerf gun.
No,
they couldn't, like.
No way.
Here's the thing. I think I'd rather be in an elevator with goats than toddlers for 4 hours.
Toddlers crying for 4 hours.
Oh.
Yeah, that would be rough. But goats. Are they the screaming goats? Because that's
maybe the fainting ones. So it would actually be silent.
If they're fainting,
you scared them, they fall over.
That would be.
It'd be 4 hours. I'd have a heart attack of laughing so much. I just and see them faint.
Yeah, if they're the fainting ones and not the screaming ones, then maybe they still stink and they still pee and they still poop.
It's confined space with them. Trust me.
But honestly, it's 4 hours. So am I. I'm probably gonna.
I mean,
probably gonna join them.
You have to establish a pee corner. Thank you, Dwight.
Yeah, thanks.
I was just about to say it too.
Dwight, stop peeing. Stop drinking.
Nope, afraid of getting cut in half.
And there's pee everywhere.
Yep.
All right, so the last thing I thought we'd do, I want to start doing this with guests. We've missed a couple opportunities to do this. I have some quick fire questions for you.
Okay.
All right, what gun do you carry?
Right now, the Shield X. I'm trying that out.
Shield X.
It's new.
It came out at the same time.
Is it like the long grip?
It's essentially the Bodyguard 2.0, but it's bigger, 9mm, 13 round flush mag, and then 15 extended.
Nice.
It's great. I love it so far.
Do you have it with you today?
I don't. That makes me sad. I'm sorry. I have a Bodyguard 2.0 in my fanny pack.
I got a Bodyguard 2.0 right here.
Don't touch it. Might be good.
Can't see it on there.
He doesn't actually.
This is probably a dumb question, but what holster do you carry it in?
Uncle Mike's. I currently have it in a Ally holster from North Coast Tactical.
I've heard of them.
Interesting.
I got one or two of them.
Do they give you a good deal on that holster?
Man, I had to work hard for it.
Yeah, I'm sure. What ammo do you carry in it?
I think it's Federal. I'm pretty sure it's Federal.
Got them Hydroshocks on there?
I think so.
Nice. Classic. What belt?
So I have a blue Alpha Gear belt that I bought with for my Alias setup.
Nice.
Currently right now, because I am not carrying on body, I am wearing a Nex belt.
Gotcha.
Mm.
Which is kind of like a Core with the ratcheting system.
Yeah.
But I didn't know about Core when I bought it.
Gotcha.
So.
And then is there just some other piece of kit gear that you like to carry that you have?
Other than my fanny pack, which I love. It's a Vertex. I don't remember what it's called.
It's the
it's like the SOP.
SOP.
Is that what it is?
So.
I love that because they're also Ohio company, which is cool. So fanny pack. And then, yeah, I think they're down in like Cincy or somewhere southern Ohio.
Wow.
Other than that, just a knife, wallet.
What kind of knife?
I have the, am I allowed to show it on YouTube?
Yeah. I think so.
I have a Spyderco.
The Para 2?
The Light, I think.
It's a great knife.
Yeah, I love this thing. This is kind of like my main go-to, but I also have a Benchmade Bug Out that I love, too.
Mm.
Benchmade's always made great knives.
And then other than that, if I feel the need to carry a fixed blade, I carry a, it's called a Gremlin from my boys at the Wizard Forge. And it's fantastic. One of the best little fixed blades that I've ever had. And then probably my, if I had to carry something like through security, like I did at Rocket Mortgage.
In theory.
No one does that.
I would carry a G10 Ghost from TYN Manufacturing out in California.
Mm. Nice.
Which that's probably the next thing I'm going to pick up from them. Because I saw you make the Kydex sheath for it.
Yeah, they're sick.
You turned me on to that company. They've been pretty sweet.
Yeah, he's a good dude. He's a firefighter out in California.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he's a good dude.
Hey, do you remember the guy, SHOT Show a couple years ago? He made like a G10. It was like curved. It would actually like Velcro inside the belt.
That yes, thing
was
I
pretty,
do.
I think it's pretty cool.
I do remember him.
Yeah.
Do I remember his name?
Nope.
Absolutely not.
Nope.
Actually, I do... I know what he's, this is going to sound stupid. I know what he's called. I don't know his actual name. I could find his handle, like his Instagram handle. Yeah. But I don't remember if he normally retails that or not.
Yeah, I don't know. I never seen one after that.
He's buddies with the Bull Creek guys.
That's right. Yeah, it's a pretty cool idea though. Like it actually curved your body so you could like, I think he just Velcroed it on the inside mm-hmm. of his belt.
Yeah,
that's
so
cool.
It's
pretty neat.
And it is wicked sharp.
Yeah.
Like, scary sharp.
That's like the cool thing I think about like G10 is, I mean, you could sharpen it and mm-hmm. make it like crazy sharp
now,
too.
If I remember correctly, the one that he showed in person was actually made out of like a carbon fiber.
Mm. Yeah.
And the point on it was, so his was literally just designed for stabbing. That's it. And it would be terrifying.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
It was terrifying. Well, yeah, it just slid inside your belt, just designed to be curved on your hip.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
All right, let's head into Liberty.
Liberty isn't about what we can get away with. It's about how we use our freedom to serve. Let's explore what that looks like today.
Yeah, so I think anytime somebody uses their skill set, their opportunity to start a business, run a business, it is using your liberty to bring new things to the world, to create. You have customers, you have employees. Like there's a lot to the Liberty segment with running a business. So I thought it would mm-hmm. kind of give us an opportunity to kind of dig into your company and, you know, kind of how it got started. And yeah, so, you know, what's the story behind how you started your business?
We started off as just a training company doing small handgun courses, CCW classes, And actually kind of it all technically started when my family bought me a gift card to take a CCW class. I forget what the it was at a gun store somewhere that offered classes. So I was going to take my CCW class there. Ended up going, and I saw a 22 Ruger. I forget. I think it was like the 50 year anniversary edition. So I used the money I was supposed to do for my class, and I bought the gun and didn't take the class.
Oops.
And then like a month or so later, one of my buddies hit me up and was like, "Hey, I'm having this guy come and teach CCW classes at my house." He's like, "Do you want to come?" It's like $50. It was way cheaper than what I was going to pay for this gun store. So I went, talked to the guy, learned that you can become a, you know, instructor, and you take some of these classes and you can become an instructor. So that's how I started even remotely into the gun industry at all, was I took those classes and I became an NRA instructor, which, I mean, I think we all know is like bottom tier.
What?
So
no.
So I started doing that originally, and that was just like a side thing. I still had a full-time job, and then I did that for like a year maybe, and then I met somebody that was doing custom holsters, and I had him do all of the holster work for my classes, and like anybody that wanted holsters, or like, you know, where can I go, you know, I have this gun. And Kydex holsters was not very prevalent back at this time. Then
so what year would this have been?
2014, maybe 2015. Yeah, I think I probably had to have been like 2014, 2015, something like that. I'd do the classes, and people would ask me, where do I get holsters? I'd send them to this guy. After a while of doing that, and I was just like, I feel like I'm missing a business opportunity here. I mean, this guy was like an hour away from me. Like, you guys know most things are where I'm at. So he was like an hour away. I tried to be as professional as possible when I told him, like, hey, I'm thinking about doing holsters for my classes. I feel like it's a smart business decision. I just wanted to give you, like, you know, the common courtesy, the professionalism of letting you know that I'm going to do this. And I hope we can still be like friends and colleagues and help each other. And that was not the case. He blocked me on every social media. He said horrible things about me, about my company. He would send his friends over to my Facebook page and was like just saying a whole bunch of ignorant things in comments and things like that.
It's very mature.
He's no longer in business. He's no longer doing holsters. We're sounding braggy, we're bigger than we've ever been. Yep. So I would say it was a pretty good business decision.
Yeah.
That's kind of the story of how we started.
Interesting.
I have a question to follow up with your holster company, and maybe this falls in the line, but what is your most memorable holster that you ever made and why?
Most memorable.
Like the highlight, or like the, you know, to a famous person or something, one of the holsters that really stood out to you and the countless thousands that you've made.
I mean, I could probably say like maybe the first one I ever sold might be a good one. But one of the coolest ones I think that I've ever done was actually a little bit more recently, I think last year.
My holster.
That was a good one. Do you guys follow MMA? Mm-hmm. Like at all? Like, do you know who Andre Arlovsky is? Mm-hmm. So I did a holster for Andre Arlovsky.
Nice.
Which was insane.
That's cool.
I got to talk to him and ask him, you know, his preference and let him choose like all of our options and stuff. And we've actually done quite a few holsters for, you know, famous either MMA fighters, and I've probably done like 3 or 4 holsters for like UFC fighters. Thiago Santos is another one of our guys. Phil Rowe, shout out my boy. I love Phil. I'm hoping the next one that we do is for Uncle Dana. Would be
that'd be sick. Really cool.
Because I've got a couple connections to Dana and also Don Jr.
Do you really?
Yeah. So that'll be sick if I can actually.
He followed Neil Magwell like a few years ago.
Did he?
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
I DM'd him. I was like, hey, thanks for the follow. He replied. He was like, yeah, no problem.
Oh, that's cool.
Like yourself. Yeah,
that's cool. He's real involved.
It is cool when you cross paths with people like that.
Yeah, from everything that I've seen about him, he's pretty involved in the 2A community. So yeah. I like nice. That.
He's a hunter and fisherman too.
So. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he's a family man and it's cool.
Yeah, I mean, being able to, I wish just did or are doing holsters for Chris Stapleton's security.
Nice.
Oh, that's cool.
So,
so what was the first holster you ever sold? What was the gun for?
Man, I wish you guys could throw it on screen right now. I have a picture of it. It's literally the worst thing you've ever seen. it's not like...
Was it a High Point?
No. I think it might have been like a SAR 9mm.
Okay, yeah.
Which is like a Glock had a baby with an XD. Ugh. But... It functioned perfectly fine. It just wasn't, you know, pleasing to the eye.
Sure.
But, you know, it was a lot. I see a lot of people starting off and they're just immediately just selling holsters that, I mean, I wouldn't feel comfortable with having anywhere near my body, mm-hmm. Just for a safety standpoint. But I mean, we made holsters for, I mean, probably almost the entire first year of making holsters without really selling anything. Like I made stuff and gave it to like my friends and family,
right,
for them to like test and give feedback, but I never like sold anything for like a really long time because I didn't want to make anyone pay for my garbage. But I didn't want you know, people to have something on them that, you know, they paid for that I wasn't proud of, so I wouldn't make them pay for it.
I gave out a lot of Neomags back in the beginning.
Yep.
A lot.
Yeah. So we gave out a ton of Kydex. I mean, the startup, I'm sure that you know, the startup ain't cheap.
Nope.
Buying all the, I mean, I didn't have a ton of, like, equipment. I mean, I used a toaster oven, 2 pieces of foam and some wood and clamps and smushed it together.
Yeah.
Using real guns, popsicle sticks, you know, any kind of blocking I felt that would get the job done. Yeah. But that was how everybody started.
Yeah.
That was doing it back then. There was no vacuum forming. No one was doing CNC work. It wasn't, you know, until maybe, I don't know, 5-6 years later that people started actually, you know, doing the vacuum forming and CNC stuff. Anyone that was doing it back in like the 2013 to 2016 kind of era was doing it foam pressed.
Sure.
Yeah. So that was my first one, was in the guy's shed in his backyard.
Yeah.
And it was just his little toolbox of a counter that he had.
Needed. I'm sure you guys have heard all the stories of Lucas from formerly of T-Rex.
What's that company? What?
Yeah. Let's not go there. But yeah, I mean, he talks about how he was in like a little shed, you know, making holsters with foam and stuff. And you know, I don't know the story of like some of the bigger companies like Tier One or something like that, but I don't know when they started.
Yeah.
But most guys, especially if they, you know, were smaller, used like the toaster oven.
Yeah.
That was, you know, talk about nostalgia.
Yeah.
I still have the toaster oven.
Nice.
So we got a question for you from one of our frequent flyers in the comments. You'll recognize Patriotic Pangolin from the comments.
Yes, sir.
He asked, what is the weirdest request you've ever gotten?
Oh, man. So I've done a bunch of weird, like, really big, like, revolver holsters, mostly for like chest rigs. I've done like Chiapa rhinos. Is it Chiapa?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. They're also based in Ohio.
Are they really?
Yep.
Oh, I didn't know that. But probably the weirdest one that I've ever done, and I do have a picture of it. If you guys want, you go to our Instagram. I'll throw it up on a story. It was a Canik, like TP9 SFX with like an aftermarket compensator that was like 3 inches longer than normal. And then it had like a Olight Balder Super X laser. I don't know. Had some weird Olight thing on it. I called it the John Wish, or the I think it was the John Wish build instead of John Wick. It was like an outside the waistband holster. It looked great like in the holster, but like the gun was just so ridiculous.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was probably the strangest one that I've ever done.
Would you also consider that the most unique as well?
Yeah, it probably was.
Okay,
that one or.
Because that was his secondary question, was the most unique.
Yeah, I did one for, you guys know those like Heritage revolvers, the 22?
Yeah.
I did a holster for one with like a 3 foot barrel or 2 foot barrel, something like that. Pictures of that too.
It's like the old Joker.
I was going to say, it's like Joker like, from the original Batman pulling it out of his pants to shoot the bat wing.
Yeah, I've got. I'll try and throw those pictures up on my Instagram story so you guys can see them. They're hilarious.
That's hilarious.
That's funny.
Do we need to get one of the Heritage revolvers with a North Coast Tactical and Alias holster clip and be modern old?
That would be a great video.
Just saying.
Mm. That would be a great video. You guys should all get cowboy hats.
I think cowboy hats are a necessity.
Yeah, yes. I got those, yeah.
Cowboy hats, boots.
Got also the boots.
Leather pants.
No, I'll wear leather pants anytime.
I'm going to wear the assless chaps just for fun.
All chaps are assless. That's the way they work.
I've learned there are half chaps. This is all.
Do you get one side of the cheek?
No, it's like knees down or the half chaps. And
but like they still don't have a butt. They're all the same. They're all that.
I'm learning so much.
So on that note, let's move on to the equipped segment, shall we? Hold on. The right tools, the right skills. I love that the mic is muted during these.
This is where we
can get ridiculous.
Yes, it is. It literally pops up a scene. I'm just telling you, on the recording, you're going to still hear that. On that.
Oh, on the board?
We use on the for the podcast.
Well, they don't.
Yeah, they don't, but. The podcast will.
Oh. Edit it in post.
There you go. Nope. I don't edit a thing. I just crop the both ends and then upload it.
Holster talk.
Yeah, so I thought we'd just talk holsters. There are so many. So many.
So many.
So many.
Yeah, there's
so many companies. So many.
You should just pick ours.
I mean. Right. I mean, might as well. Right. I just pick one and go down the lane.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
So. I'm sure there's even more questions. Like, if you even want to kind of lead us through some of this, I have some questions here, but there's probably things that we as non-holster makers, and especially our listeners, don't really know about. Like, what makes a difference between one company's to the next, but also just style-wise, what's... all right, so, like, a few things I had here is, like, what makes a good versus bad holsters?
Well, good holsters... Obviously, a safe holster. Like I said before, there's a lot of people out there that are making holsters, you know, whether it be out of their, you know, shop or their home garage setup that are just putting stuff out. You know, a lot of people picked up holster making during COVID. Mm. And, you know, they're still trying to make it into either, you know, a full-time thing or... maybe just like a side hustle type thing. But, you know, some of them really don't have any business selling any of the stuff that they're making. And that's not to throw shade. I mean, I made bad holsters back in the day as well, but I didn't sell them, and I definitely didn't stay there with bad holsters. So safety is number one. It's number one for us.
every day of the week. I would also say that whether you, well, I would say function, obviously it's got a function, you know, you don't want to go to draw your gun out and it, or try to draw your gun out and it's stuck. I'm sure you guys have all seen like the, is it urban carry? Yeah. It's got like the little
flap thing that you pull up.
Nah. I actually, I won't say names, but I talked to a sheriff's deputy where I live who was in a shootout, and he said the only reason that he's alive is because the guy was carrying in one of those urban carry.
Mm. It's basically like a leather pocket that goes down in your pants.
That's what it is.
Pull
it
up. And you grab, flap.
And pull the whole thing up.
Pull the whole thing up.
Let me ask you guys a question. So you have like a phone in your pocket that I can see clearly from here.
Yeah.
If you stick a gun down there in a big leather sack, have a leather paper bag of lunch down there, what the outline is going to look like?
A gun.
Or just like this.
Or just a big
giant
lump.
Yes.
Yeah. Like.
So I don't understand the point of those at all. And how do you draw from a sitting position?
I mean, I've seen the sitting position, I can't even make an argument. I'm not saying don't ever buy one. Whoever's listening / on the stream, don't buy one. I've seen the videos back when those were first coming out, that whole like you grab it, you pull it up and the gun comes up. It seemed odd. Like, why do you want your gun at your knee?
Right.
Why do you want it all the way?
The idea
knee?
Is like it's extreme deep concealment.
Right.
And there's going to be a trade off for that. It's going to be a slower draw.
I agree with Dan that like unless you're wearing like parachute pants, it's not going to be that concealed.
Yeah, that was my thing. It was just like, okay, cool. Like it's deeply concealed because I mean, I could have a gun in my hoodie pocket and that's concealed.
So, in this case, so that the holster checks off. It's secure. The holster's not going anywhere until you pull up too fast and you're ready to catch it, right? But it covers the trigger guard. It's secure. It's concealed. Yet there's a design flaw in
the functionality
of the draw. Of it, right. So just because a holster checks off multiple boxes of functionality, like you need to think about how is the whole point of carrying a holster is so you can draw from it.
Right.
Well, that's one. Of, not the whole reason. That's one of the reasons why you carry it. So if you can't do that safely, then yeah, it's not.
Yeah,
it's not.
So that's. I mean, just one example. And I'm not saying that like a deep carry holster. We make deep carry holsters as well, but not that deep.
not you that know, deep.
Yeah. So I'm not saying that's inherently bad. It like you said, it comes with trade-offs. But the ability to not have your holster while you're sitting down is kind of a no-no, in my opinion. Or just never sit down, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, there's always that option.
But yeah,
so apparently it's impossible to sit down and carry appendix anyway.
Oh.
Even though I'm doing it right now. But
that's weird.
Yeah,
can't do it.
What? You can sit down and carry a gun in the waistband?
I guess.
I didn't know you could do that.
Nope, can't do it.
Nah. Yeah.
You guys didn't know? Internet said so.
We have drones for that now, so... So I have a question to follow up with that is, I won't drop any holster company names, but I had a holster at one point that I would turn the gun upside down and it'd fall out.
Yeah.
Right. So for me, I consider that a drop test. I want to see if there's any retention on it whatsoever. Mm-hmm. Granted, odds are I'm probably not taking my holster and gun and holding it upside down, but I want it to hold. What is your take on holsters and retention for a non-retention device, meaning it's just Kydex conforming around the gun itself versus an actual locking mechanism?
So I think retention is subjective to a lot of different things. It depends on the holster, what it's designed for, like something like your competition rig. You probably want a little less retention.
Right, of course.
Or at least the ability to relieve that retention and have a smoother, quicker draw than you would maybe your...
in the waistband.
Your concealed carry holster. So I would say that is the first thing. Also, it based on the person. I know a lot of guys that like their retention super tight. I don't. I know that when I put it on my waistband is going to add to the retention.
Right.
A lot of people don't understand that. So, like, you know, I set the retention, or my one of my employees sets the retention to kind of, we have like a preset of how it should feel, and right. they know that. So going out of the box, everything that we have gets tested before it leaves the shop for retention. We don't put any Loctite on any of the retention points because the way that I like it might not be the way that you
varies,
like it.
Yes.
So what we do is we just let people know that find where you like that, find that sweet spot, put a couple dabs of blue Loctite in the back of the posts, and just forget about it. Mm. You're good. So that's our recommendation. As far as holding it upside down, it shouldn't fall out just by holding it upside down, in my opinion. Especially if it is a non-lighted holster. There's no excuse for it to not have retention on a trigger guard.
Yeah, there was a lot of conversations that were cut very short once the first holster did that, and then they sent me a second one claiming mm-hmm. that, oh, this is an error. They wanted to see the video. And the second one, I opened it out of the box and did the same thing. Yeah. It just didn't hold. So that was yeah. one of my underlying determinations for, you know, holsters is like, it's not that I'm necessarily going to have the gun upside down in the holster, but I do want a sense of retention.
Yes.
Depending on the use, again, for in the waistband, like yeah. you said, when I put my belt on and against my body, I'm putting an extra sense of security. Now, for outside mm-hmm. the waistband, for competition, right? I love my turbo because I can adjust
right.
the retention to either have a rock solid because I'm not drawing or moving, or have right. it super loose so it's agile.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, to the ability to... That's why I love the turbo holster. Do you have the clasp or the prop? I don't remember.
I think I have the prop.
Okay, I like the prop. A lot of our guys like the turbo clamp that we use.
But explain that to our listeners that don't know.
So essentially, the turbo prop is like a propeller that you can turn to loosen with just like a thumb and index finger to tighten or loosen retention. The turbo clamp is more or less just like a on and off switch.
It's like an EOTech when you go to mount it. It's just
it's like
clamp
a QD
latch.
But it's either like 100% retention or like none.
Or off.
Yeah, it's on or off. A lot of guys like that because if they're running around, you know, having to do a stage where there's a lot of running, they can just flip that on and it's not coming out.
Right.
And then when it's time, like, I mean, you can almost do it, like, if you have it set up right, you can do that like in a scoop draw.
Like on the fly, you flip it off and come out.
So that's what, you don't have to turn anything. So maybe with the new one that we got you, maybe you try we'll send you the clamp.
For sure.
Lights are a little bit more tricky when it comes to like retention because the retention's based off of, it's indexed off the light. So if you've got like something like a TLR-1, which we know like they're fairly smooth and they don't have the bezel on them is not really as, you know, pronounced as maybe like a X300 or even an even better one would probably be like the TLR-7 or the 7 sub would be like a better example of like the retention is more difficult to pinpoint on that than almost any other light, I would say.
Sure.
That or maybe like the, what is it, the TLR-6.
So you're saying these lights and I'm like visually seeing them in my head and saying, ooh, gross.
Just rubbing it in now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if you know this, but Dan can't picture those lights.
I know. Dan's
struggling to picture the lights in his head.
I'm telling you, man, people don't understand how difficult stuff like that is for me. Yeah. I'm just like, close my eyes and see darkness.
It's just hard to keep track. It's like Glock.
There's so many lights. And honestly, man, it's so confusing to our customers.
Yeah.
You know, we try to make, and I know that our website has a ton of options. I know it can be overwhelming. So I would take this opportunity. If you guys go to our site and you have a question, please DM me on Instagram. You'll be talking to me directly. Or if you email us, you'll be talking to my wife directly. So we'll help you through the process no matter what it is, because I know it can be overwhelming. But these companies keep coming out with these lights, man, and they're just like the same name with like a different letter or number, and it just confuses.
So many people want the newest light, the newest best light. Well, now I have to wait for holsters to catch up.
And, yeah, it's and, like phones.
Well, that's the thing.
And is it worth you coming out with a new holster for every single model like that?
I mean, so I won't do Olights just because, I mean, they come out with like a new light every 2 weeks. So, yeah. Like, I'm sorry. I won't do it.
Sure.
And also, they might be getting better now, but like, I don't think that they're a quality product. And
you don't want to support something you don't believe in.
I don't believe in them, so I'm not going to make support for them. I know, you know, I could probably make a bunch of money off of Olight holsters, but I don't care. I'm going to stick with, you know, companies that I do believe in, Surefire, Modlight, Streamlight. I'm not even a huge fan of like the new Hollow Sun lights that came out, but whatever. But yeah, like it becomes too much for some people. So it just makes it difficult to try to actively like get the customer what they want with like out helping them sometimes. So it just makes it a little more challenging, a little more on the, you know, our customer service side of things.
So what's your, this is not a setup for Alias or anything whatsoever, but like, what's your favorite holster clip, or maybe what's the most popular holster clip option that you guys use?
So the most popular one currently right now, I would say, is probably the monoblock from Discreet Carry. Mm-hmm.
Is that the two?
People love that. Yeah, the top mount one.
Yeah.
I'm not a big top mount guy. Yeah. It's not really my jam. So I would say that, but since we've come out with our new plus one setup, which gives you the ability to mount a spare mag, or we're actually working on a couple other things. You could do a knife sheath. I guess I'll spoil it here. We're working on a almost like a universal tourniquet holster for that as well, and then possibilities are kind of endless. So I use the bottom mounted DCCs most of those, but there's a new clip out that we've been using for, I don't know, probably like maybe 3-4 months, called the Stiff Clip, and it's a mold injected plastic, but I mean it holds super well. So a lot of adjustability with it too.
Did you guys do soft loops or anything?
Yeah, man, we did. So back in like 2022. Soft loops were by far like the most popular.
Yeah, I know people love soft.
I did not understand that. No, I hate them. They're awful. And like, we got a huge batch of them. We paid like, $3,000 for them or something like that, and how many we ordered. And they were like all like blem, messed up, like clasp didn't work. So I had to send them all back.
Oof,
it was a nightmare.
Yeah, I don't know. I think the argument I've heard for them is that people believe that it's the most secure because you have a full loop around your belt, whatever. I just don't see.
I mean, and again, joking aside, like, obviously we love the Alias, but Alias is pretty secure. I think the DCC is also extremely secure.
Yeah,
I mean, secondary hook on the bottom, all of the way it's designed, it's extremely secure.
It's not going anywhere.
I don't know how you could argue that it's not secure.
I mean, I will say, I've had my Alias for, I mean, you guys came out with it, and I think I bought one like almost immediately. I mean, we're going back years. I still wear it from time to time, and then I just got that beltless that you guys sent me.
Yeah.
And I've been rocking that. I did it all day yesterday in the shop, and it's going absolutely no, even on. Like gym shorts.
Yeah.
Like, for not going anywhere.
Well, Ty Boomer did ask, when are you going to be able to order a holster with the Alias attachment?
Very soon.
There you go.
Very soon.
And this channel is sponsored by North Coast Tactical. First sponsor of the podcast.
I'll sponsor.
So let's talk some pros and cons here. So I think you call it plus one, but like a sidecar style holster versus gun only. What's your...
So... I would say up until very recently, and maybe like the last 2-ish, 3 years, no one was really making like a sidecar type holster that could do more than just a spare mag. So I think that's rapidly changing. I know T-Rex did that hinge thing, which I got to say, I still think is a horrible design. But he had the opportunity that you could add kind of other things to it, which I thought was cool. Plus, props to him for open sourcing like all of the files and stuff like that, because most people wouldn't do that for their company. So I give him props for that. But yeah, I mean, I personally pretty much only carry like with a spare mag or something like that in that sidecar type style. I found that it helps distribute the weight a little bit better. And kind of the way that I look at it too, as you know, if you have like a single point that's kind of like just poking you all day, instead you kind of like distribute that pressure, if you will, like elongate it, it doesn't hurt as much, or, you know, you don't get those hot spots. So that's kind of my reasoning behind that. It just feels more comfortable for me. And, you know, adding like a wedge or something like that on the back or a pad, that's the most comfortable for me. But I would say by far, it's not anywhere near as close as like popularity wise that we sell to just like a single gun side holster.
Yeah.
So, but that my personal is I'm carrying like with a spare mag.
Right.
But like, yeah, not even close. Not even close.
And what do you think of like the combo holsters where you have like a soft, like a leather or some sort of material with a Kydex shell?
When I, before I started making holsters, I carried an Alien Gear.
I think they were the first ones that did it.
Yeah. Well, maybe there was another,
I had
hidden hybrid.
I had a crossbreed. I think it was the first one.
Maybe it's crossbreed. I think one of those two is in Ohio in like, Canton area. It might be hidden hybrid, might be them, but, they make a like a hybrid type holster, but I had an Alien Gear with like the neoprene on there.
Yep. Oh,
and wow. I just found out, like, you know, over time the padding, the neoprene or the leather or whatever it is, I mean, it just wears out and you've got to replace it. So why not just make the whole thing out of Kydex that isn't going to, you know, lose its retention? So that's, I don't know, kind of the way they look at it.
I had Stealth Gear. A couple of theirs that they had, like, their material was like perforated, so it's supposed to breathe and stuff like that. My issue that I had with any of those, like, there's that issue of that material breaking down. I also carried that style holster when I carried 3-4 o'clock.
Yeah,
I tried a couple of those companies tried to make like an appendix version of it, but there's very uncomfortable.
Yeah,
it's like the edge of that material wants to dig into you,
rub on you.
But I think the pro to it is that it's the pro is the con as well. That material molds you, so you don't have a Kydex shell digging into you.
Right. I mean, it's a softer material. It's obviously going to feel better than hard plastic. But I forget who told it to me a long time ago. But they had said that the reason that I carry a gun isn't because it's comfortable. It's because it's comforting.
Yeah.
That's kind of the way that I looked at it. It was like, yeah, that thing might be like more comfortable, but you know, it's not necessarily more practical or functional. So we had the idea of making something like that when we first started too, but, just decided to stay away from it after carrying one for a while.
Right.
Actually, you got me, Greg, I believe it was Stealth Gear. You got one. This was right after you started Neomag. They sent you a couple free holsters, just being nice. And you got me one for my shield. Again, this was right after you started. And I carried it. I think it was a grand total. I know exactly where it is. I could go get it out of my basement right now. It's been in the same spot for almost 10 years.
Yeah, I still have some in a box in my basement.
I carried it a grand total of like 3 times. At the time, I was much smaller than I am now, and I couldn't get it to conform. Mm. So it just basically created this weird flat spot on my hip, and it concealed atrociously. So I just never used it for that very reason. just didn't work.
I'm just waiting for us to bring back the backpack rifles that we have. Yeah. Our EDC, you know, my backpack, and I got a foldable.
I mean, they're getting there with like the Flux Raiders and stuff.
Flux on the 365. That yes, so cool.
It's pretty fun.
A little pricey, in my opinion. And I know good things are, but you know, I'm hoping to maybe find one somewhere on a secondary market or something like that, and pick up a 365 variant for a backpack gun would be awesome.
Yeah,
I had the 3321, but I traded that away for I think a
life.
I think it's the
for life. Yeah.
Yeah. I know who got it too.
Ryan. Yeah. Hit for his GMH9, I think.
Yeah.
It's
the
called.
BNT.
Yeah, the BNT. Yeah.
Grasshopper,
which looks super cool by the way.
I love that thing.
Yeah, it's a great gun.
So let's talk about North Coast holsters just for a little bit here. What? In all your years of making holsters and buying, having other companies' holsters and everything like that, I'm sure that's kind of led to the design of your holsters. What are some of your, you know, you have different holsters. I have some of your, you know, some of your, a few different your IWB and some of your outside the waistband. What makes, like, what's some design features that you've put into your holsters that you believe makes them unique and better and that sort
so
of thing?
So our kind of flagship holsters, which is our it's called the Tuck, but stands for the Undercover Holster, and that's probably our most popular. And the features for it, I mean, the amount of adjustability in customization that it has, I don't currently know any other holster on the market that has more adjustability than we do. You know, if I'm wrong, then, you know, I'll just keep lying to myself, I guess. But, yeah, I mean.
And so adjustability and how?
I mean, the amount of ride height that you can have, the amount of different clip options that you can use and combinations of each other. You can use a DCC clip or and you can run a soft loop at the same time, which is like a lot of other companies out there. It's not really a feasible possibility for that. And on the back side of the gun, because it's ambidextrous, it's got holes on both sides up and down. You can add a wedge. You can add two wedges. You can add almost anything that you can throw outside the waistband, belt loops on it, and run it as an OWB if you want. So, like I said, there's not many or any other holster companies out there that I know that are that customizable. Right. Not to mention the amount of prints and fabric overlays and all of those things that we do that you see other companies doing them, but you know, we've got so many different options too. So you can really just make it kind of however you want.
Yeah, you do offer a lot of customization for sure.
You have some of the coolest prints too.
I got the best one. I got the DC, I got Marvel and everything on mine. I'm set.
Nice. So you have a few different models of IWB. What's your models and what's the difference for people?
So the Tuck, the Undercover, is the most modular one that we have, for sure. So you can wear it right, left-handed, you know, so you can move literally across your entire body. You could do appendix. You can move it all the way 3-4 o'clock. You could even switch it to, like, if you're right-handed, you could switch it to be left-handed and run smaller back if you wanted to. So the Tuck is kind of like the do-it-all, like the Swiss Army knife of the holsters that we make. If you want something with maybe you don't care about, like a deeper concealment, which the Tuck holster is primarily designed to be a deep concealment appendix carry holster. But if you don't care about deep conceal, you can order the Ally, which is just the same, essentially the same holster, just with less ride height options. Then let's see, you've got our Sidekick, which is our appendix AIWB specific holster that you can carry a spare mag with. Our Stowaway holster is a dedicated bag holster. So it's got a Velcro on the backside. It's literally just designed to stay in a backpack. Our Companion is our OWB holster. And we have our Turbo holster, which is named after Rusty Turbos on Instagram, who's probably one of our oldest customers and great friend. So we named it after him. And that's Competition Holster, and that's what Mike was talking about, his comic book one. Man, there's we've got our Guardian, which we did name after the former Indians with the Guardian. So that's our level 2 holster. We've got the accountant. It's our wallet, and the accomplice is our mag carrier. The plus one attaches holster, mag carrier, and other items. And man, what we've got dumb trays and all kinds of. We make a bunch of other accessories. Sharpie slot is another one.
Yeah, that's a good
that
one.
Was.
I love the Sharpie slot.
Was another Rusty Turbo's invention. He wanted something on the range that, you know, he could mark targets with. So he asked us to make a Sharpie holster. So we made it. A bunch of people saw it on the range and they're like, I want one. So
I carry them on my website.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. But yeah, I mean, they were a big, big hit for a long time. And then I think like everybody started using those pacer guns and it kind of tapered off a little bit, but they're not just, you know, for the range. You can use. I have one guy on YouTube, Mr. Build It, where he does like, you know, construction stuff, and he keeps it on his tool belt, and he just uses it for marking stuff on when he's cutting wood and stuff. So, yeah. I mean, you can use it for anything.
Yeah,
I sent two of them to Roman Atwood.
Did you really?
Yeah, he opened them on camera during his mail time thing, and he's just laughing about it. It's super funny. He's like, "Oh yeah, you need something signed." Bam. So, yeah, I mean the Sharpie slot's great. It's you know, who doesn't need a Sharpie?
I can never find them when I need to find them, so I know where it's at. That's great. So Ty Boomer was wondering. I was going to answer this, but I'm going to let you answer because maybe there is. Does the fabric overlay do anything, or is it just cosmetic?
So I've had mixed opinions on this. I've had shooters in the past tell me. You guys know typically like if a holster is going to crack, it's more than likely going to crack somewhere around like the trigger guard area, especially if you have like a wing on it.
Sure.
Cause all that retention is kind of like the tension's pushing on that area. So I had a guy, he had I think an X300 on it and it cracked right at that, area where the light kind of curves down and then back out to that flat spot where the retention and the claw would sit. And he said that he rocked that holster still crack like that for like a year because the fabric was holding it together, which I don't recommend.
Yeah.
If you have something wrong with your holster, please send our customer service an email, please. don't do that. But yeah, I mean, he said that the fabric held it together.
Yeah.
My opinion is that it is purely cosmetic, especially because some of the options that we use are like just a cotton overlay, or some of them are like a vinyl leather blend that they're not adding anything. The only thing that they might do is if you don't wear like an undershirt, like a t-shirt under, it might be a little bit more comfortable in terms of like not rubbing up against you. Cause like, some Kedora is, you know, pretty scratchy, but the cotton blends are going to feel just like a t-shirt up against your body.
Yeah. So that makes sense.
The leather stuff, if you sweat a lot, it's going to stick to you.
It does look super cool.
It does look super cool, which it's a bummer we're not allowed to do Louis Vuitton anymore since they sent us a cease and desist. So,
ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll do it.
I've got it framed.
I hope you framed that and put it up on your wall.
Yeah.
There's one that I've found with the Kedora wrap or just with something outside of Kydex is people have a skin reaction to the Kydex material. Yeah. And that's where there was a benefit where they had just some type of cloth over that so it wouldn't cause that skin reaction, which there's very few foreign people that do, but there are people that have.
I have heard that as well from a small select group of people. Yeah. But I mean, for the majority of it, I would say
it's
other than for like – I said, like having something not itchy or something up against your skin, it's purely aesthetic. It just looks cool.
We're doing multicam black or multicam.
Yeah, the cool guy stuff.
Cool.
Very good.
All right, we're going to head into Faith and Fuel.
Faith anchors us, fuel drives us. Let's open God's Word and find the wisdom we need to live it out every day.
All right, Nate picked out today's verse. You want to?
Sure did.
Read it to us?
So let me read it. So we're reading from 2 Corinthians 12, verses 9 and 10. It says this: "But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong.'"
One of my favorites.
It's actually interesting. One of the things, Dan, you had said earlier when we were talking was we were talking about the nostalgia. We were talking about Andy's comment about living in the good old days and how you, instead of trying to figure out what the good old days, you're just going to live life like all times are good old days. And because you have a good life with a good family and a job you like, regardless of the circumstances in the moment. Now, obviously, there's belief behind this. We have faith, and God's grace is sufficient in our weakness. But there is an aspect to what you're saying in this verse, which I just thought was an interesting mirror from that perspective, which is there is a certain amount of, regardless of circumstance, allow that grace in that suffering at the same time, right?
Yeah.
To have that perspective, even in the worst of circumstance. I don't know. I just thought it was interesting that he said that when we were talking about it earlier.
Yeah, that it reminds me of, actually, I mean, a couple scripture. I think it's in Matthew. You had said about, you might have to read it again so I remember, but insults and, how was it worded?
It says, "I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions and calamities."
Yeah, I think it's in Matthew. I mean, it essentially says is that you shall be hated for my name's sake. And I understand that as being not just a Christian in today's world, but also just like a Christian in and on social media, especially in the gun industry, it can be difficult where, you know, you want to hold on to all of your values and your core beliefs. But then you see, this is from a business owner's perspective, you know, you see some of these other companies that, you know, they have, you know, much more, you know, success when it comes to, you know, social media, maybe engagement or whatever, followers and, you know, all of those things that, you know, we know don't really matter. But there's a part of you that looks at that as like, you know, if I did some of those things and maybe if I kind of conformed a little bit to the way that they do things and like the way that they talk, that maybe I'll gain more following. But I know that that's not a road that I'm willing to travel down.
Sure.
You know, there's plenty of, let me say this. Can I say gun bunnies?
Yeah. Okay.
There's plenty of like gun bunny type people that they, you know, they will shill out your product for, you know, money or attention or whatever. You know, women that will wear, you know, in the gun industry, they'll wear half naked clothes, you know, and they'll have a rifle and they'll get hundreds of thousands of comments and likes and whatever. You know, I see guys, wives doing it for like YouTube and stuff. Like I could never imagine asking my wife to do that for likes. And that's just something that I won't ever travel down that road. And I know that, you know, I'll catch some insults. I'll catch some hate for, you know, sticking to what I believe in. And I'm fine with that. Because I know the Bible says that I'm going to be hated because of whose name I have. And also it kind of brings another scripture to my mind. I'm sorry, I don't mean to like hijack you, but it just keeps going. I think it's 1 Peter, I think it's 5 something. I think it says something along the lines of God resists the proud.
God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble.
Yeah, I think in the King James, I think it says grace. And that speaks to me a lot in terms of, you know, if I'm acting a certain way, like what I was just saying, like online, and I'm portraying myself in a way that, you know, I am, this is all me, then I'm being proud. I'm being prideful.
Mm, right.
I'm not going to gain the blessings of God. I'm not going to, my service, my product isn't going to be blessed if I'm being prideful. Mm. And I think that those things that I just mentioned is being prideful. So that's just like when you said that, and I think you did, I think somewhere in there you did mention grace.
Mm-hmm. My grace is sufficient for you, for my yes. power is made perfect in weakness.
And being humble, I think that is the exact, I think being humble is the exact opposite of pride. I think they're eternal enemies. So I would say that's what that scripture kind of makes me think of is, you know, I'm going to endure those things. I know that going into it, but yet I still need to remain humble through those hardships.
So actually, it's funny you pick this verse, Nate, because I was scrolling through Reels the other day, actually yesterday, and there's a guy who's deaf, and he was signing, and you know, he had singled out somebody's comment was like, you know, why would you believe in a God that would let you be deaf and that sort of thing. And his response was a scripture of that. My deafness is not, it's not a fault.
Sure.
It is something about me, but we all have things that about sure. us that we would see as a fault or a hindrance or something like that. But when we give up those things to God and say, God, use me, use this.
Yeah.
And we get out of our own way. You know, I can think of so many times in my life when I'm trying to control my circumstances, I'm just like, God, get out of the way. I've got this. I'm trying to control it. And I just exhaust myself. And when I finally get out of my own way and I just give it to God, I get to experience the power of God in a way that I couldn't before.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I could think of times when my kids are, you know, it's hard to watch. Like when your kids are trying to fix something or do something, they're just struggling with it, whatever. You're just like, let me do it, you know?
Yeah.
And as soon as they get out of the way, I can fix it.
Yeah.
And then they can go on to enjoying whatever it was that they're trying to fix. There's that frustration. Yeah. And I think I can only picture God going, just get out of my way.
Use your head.
Experience my grace and my power that I have for you. I can do so much more through you than what you could ever do on your own.
But that's some of the best things I think about God is he'll let you do that.
He will.
He'll let you mess up.
Yep.
And it's like the thing where, you know, people will say, God, give me strength, you know, God, give me patience, but he'll put these things in your way purposefully, and then you ask God, why am I going through this?
You asked for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I gave you these things as an opportunity for you to gain those things that you prayed to me for, and we look at it as trials and tribulations, and God, why are you doing this to me when we're the ones that prayed it?
Yeah.
Well, we even talked last week, Psalm 100, we talked about, you know, God being a shepherd and us being the sheep of his pastures, right? And I'd said that sheep make mistakes. They do things. They make a choice that get them into trouble. They don't know that the choice they made is the thing that got them into trouble, but they made the choice to do it. And you as the shepherd, not even angrily go and fix the problem, because you're like, well, there's your head stuck in a fence because you decided you wanted to eat the grass on the other side of the fence. Because it looked yummy. So you shoved your head through the fence, and now you can't get back out of it.
Man, that grass isn't always green,
man.
Yeah, well, be stuck in a fence. Well, but they made the choice, and
meanwhile, God's like, "Look at the whole field.
There's a whole field behind you.
I've supplied everything that you need
of green grass it's
behind you. Yeah.
Do you want that green grass?"
And God walks up to you and is like, "You made the choice, man, but I'm right here. You want me to shove your head back through? It's not going to be fun. This is not going to be comfortable.
Right.
But as long as you don't fight me too hard."
You've seen the reel of
here I am.
I've seen this reel come a few times. It's like this is a real representation of me listening to God or something like that. And it's this farmer like pulling a sheep. I was pretty sure of a sheep, like out of this,
out of
like,
a crevice.
Ditch, out of a crevice.
Yeah.
And it takes a Yui and just jumps right back down.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, but that's the point. Exactly right. The farmer, he walked up, saw the sheep in the thing, was like,
again, all right, again, yeah.
And he went and grabbed it. Pulled it out.
It back out.
And it watched, and it did again. He was like, "Wee." Yep, that tracks. All right. And walks over and picks it up. I mean, I don't think it actually shows him pick him up the second time. I think it just cuts off after it jumps back into the thing. But the point is the same, is that you'd think, oh, the sheep, why wouldn't you learn from the first time that you fell into the crack? Well, they don't see beyond the next choice sometimes. Right. And I don't think we always see beyond the next choice.
Right.
Or... And truly, I do believe this. Sometimes that crack just comes out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And you just fall into it.
Yep. And I think
whether it was your choice or not, but God will come and help you out of that crack. But you got to be willing. Sometimes you're stuck in there and the helping out is not comfortable.
Yeah. I think that willingness is that's the key to that, is having that capability of accepting what is not for you and what God has in plan for you may not align with what you want in that moment or in that time. And it's not conforming, but we've said three different Bible verses and I'm just wrapping my head around all of them saying, wow, I could rattle on for days and days in what I want to talk about. And you guys touched on 3 points, so I'll try to keep it short, but sum it all up. Grace and humility is what I'm taking away from this, but also when I ask God, if this is not for me, take it away from me. And then when he does, I want to revert back and be like, why did you do this to me? This is not what I asked for. But it's just the counter of that. It's like, God, I'm asking for strength. And if this isn't for me, you're teaching me through the hardship that I'm going to have the proper strength to handle the situation. But to that is to handle it with elegance and grace. And to follow that, it's to turn around and say that I'm going to be humble, or express that humility to say that everything that's come thereafter, from what he took from me, maybe it be bad or not for me and not for God's plan for me, and what he gave in my life thereafter, that's a piece of that humility that you should carry forward, because it's not me then. And this is speaking from relation to my life in this year and just what I've gone through in trials and tribulations, but it's then that moment that you say, this isn't me that's created the success. It's me asking God to put that challenge or give me that strength through those hardships, but allow me to have that grace and elegance to carry it forward and be humble and say that God gave me this because I asked for it. And we've talked about this before in the Bible, to sum it all up, but sometimes we pray, God, will you please, you know, protect my family, instead of demanding it of God. God, protect my family. And maybe I'm butchering this, but sometimes it's not asking God, it's telling God what I want. And it's believing that if you're on the right path with him in your life, that what you ask for is what he's willing to give you, because he's there. Just like the sheep in the pasture, there's green grass there for you. I'm willing to give it to you. You just have to open your eyes and see it. So sometimes it maybe doesn't hurt to ask. But those are the three Bible verses that you guys kind of today, Nate, yours, the one that you referenced with Peter. And that's how it resonates with me. And I love that. Like it's in... Even though the battery died on the camera and we swapped the battery, it's in chills down my spine. I came back down, sitting down, excited to be like, this is something that relates to my life. And I think a lot of us can relate to this. So that's my take on that. That's a great verse for the week and a great follow-up verse.
Yeah. I think, like we already kind of talked about it a little bit, like, because Paul also says that we should rejoice in our sufferings.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a hard thing to do, to rejoice in suffering, but it's those sufferings that where God shapes us.
Yes.
And I'm thankful for the times when God let me keep jumping back into that ditch, like that dumb sheep, because eventually, hopefully, that sheep, me, learns from that. I gain knowledge and wisdom from continually
making those bad decisions.
Right.
Yeah.
And God being patient with me until I learned from it. I was listening to a pastor recently. He said, wisdom is knowledge applied. And there's so much knowledge that we can have, but until you apply it, it means nothing.
All right.
And so just to ask God for wisdom, which largely is, I think a lot of times is just that he opens up our eyes to what we already know, so that, and then we will take that knowledge and then we'll apply it. But I think the biggest thing that I always take from this, he uses the word weakness 1, 2, 3 times in this. I'm going to do it one more time. My grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, calamities. For when I am weak, there's like 4 times, for when I am weak, then I am strong. I think just being willing, and I think it's as like men, as humans, it's hard to admit weakness, let alone rejoice in those weaknesses and be glad for them. So, yeah, that's so good. Mm. Thanks, Nate, for pulling that one out. Well, before we wrap up here, Dan, I just want to thank you for making the trip down here. It's good to hang out with you today.
Thanks for driving from the middle of nowhere.
Anytime.
Yeah. You got to see another small town, a little bit bigger than yours.
Yeah, well, just a little, yeah.
And where can people find you, find your company?
So northcoasttactical.com. We're on Instagram, YouTube, Dan Popadak, or just search North Coast Tactical. We're on there.
Awesome.
There you go.
Well, make sure you guys go check out North Coast Tactical.
Appreciate you guys, too. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Yeah, thanks for having me. Appreciate the conversation today. Yeah. Hopefully people learn some things. Everybody, thanks for tuning in to Life, Liberty, and Equipped. If today's conversation challenged you, encouraged you, or helped you become more equipped to pursue your mission, share it with a friend, drop a comment, and leave us a review.
Don't forget, we go live on the Neomag YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram. So be sure to subscribe and turn on notifications so you can be part of the next live show.
And if you're not already part of the Neomag Insiders Club, now's the time. Get early access to Neomag gear, exclusive content, and everything we're building Front Row.
Until next time, live boldly, stand for liberty, and stay equipped. We'll see you soon.